You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio.
We need to understand as human beings that we are part of this ecosystem.
We are nature.
In the forest.
I teach many people, you know, don't cut the trees.
Through their roots because of the relationship they have with living microorganisms.
They do lots of really important things in our ecosystems.
And there are cycles, natural rhythms, this planet that we're so interconnected with.
We really need help. The Amazon really need help.
I'm Bia Sharma, almost 50 years.
The indigenous need our help. They need our help now.
Medicine.
Wild Botanic Garden. It's actually flood-proof, bomb-proof and radiation-proof as well.
There's young people out here that are doing amazing things, and the press needs to fix up and start telling some really beautiful stories.
We can always make a difference.
We be the change.
Plant trees, they help us breathe.
Everybody thinks there's something special. Most of us believe that there's a plan. But even those we think are intellectual are ineffectual when it comes to understanding man. It seems we think that humankind's been gifted with a world that is provided just for us. Oh, it's never understood that the world is made of wood. We've decided now's the time to make a fuss. 'Cause nobody perceives that the world is run by trees. Nobody can see where we belong. It seems the human race doesn't really know its place. We thought we had the right, but we were wrong. We made a big mistake, thought the world was ours to take. That in the tree of life we were the top. But anyone can tell, we paved the road to hell. It's time to park the bus, it's time to stop. 'Cause nobody perceives that the world is run by trees. Nobody can see where we belong. It seems the human race doesn't really know its place. We thought we had the right, but we were wrong, wrong, wrong. We thought we had the right, but we were wrong. Yes, we've only just discovered the perfection of the forest, moor and woodland and their worth. Communities of natural selection, their connection indispensable to all the life on earth. And I'm sure that when they're gone we can't replace this. Billion years of evolution at a stroke. It's a loss we would regret, so it's time to get upset. Time to make it clear this ain't a joke. 'Cause nobody perceives that the world is run by trees. Nobody can see where we belong. It seems the human race doesn't really know its place. We thought we had the right, but we were wrong. We made a big mistake, thought the world was ours to take. That in the tree of life we were the top. But anyone can tell, we paved the road to hell. It's time to park the bus, it's time to stop. 'Cause when you stop to think what nature's given, don't you think it might be time to give some back? When every little bit of life we're living is within a planet we seem eager to attack. Oh, but never for a moment think we're fated to use up every single last resource. Though the human race is mad, we're not entirely bad, and we could choose to plot a different course. 'Cause nobody perceives that the world is run by trees. Nobody can see where we belong. It seems the human race doesn't really know its place. We thought we had the right, but we were wrong. Yes, nobody perceives that the world is run by trees. Nobody can see where we belong. It seems the human race doesn't really know its place. We thought we had the right, but we were wrong, wrong, wrong. Thought we had the right, but we were wrong, so wrong. We thought we had the right, but we were wrong.
Welcome to the Environment and Conservation Show. I'm your host, Yara. If you'd like to connect, you can connect via wildeyeadventures.com. That tune you just heard was called The World is Run by Trees by Fraser and Toots. Check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much for sharing your music on the show. The world is run by trees. We just don't know it. It's run by plants as well. The connection humans eternally share with the natural world. We are in fact nature ourselves, but we are growing up and living in a society and in an industry, in a political system that does not view the earth as a living being. It doesn't view it as a mother, our mother. You know, it sees it in a different perception. The world we are growing up and living in, it's very economically based. It's based on profit making, and most of the time a lot of wildlife, environmental laws, and nature is pushed to the side. I've always believed in the power of the people. I see people like the Maoris in New Zealand perceive. They look at it like a rope. One rope on its own might not be so strong, but when you twine that rope, intertwine it and connect it with other ropes, it becomes stronger. The following was recorded at a tree planting event. It was an event to help reforest some farmlands from some people who had recently established the land and wanted to get more trees in the ground. They lived near to a railway, so they hoped that the trees would reduce the noise pollution coming from the trains and also provide more habitat for birds, for wildlife, for insects, to encourage more wildlife to come to their land. So, you know, there's not much plant life, flowers or trees. So when you get trees into the ground, that provides habitat for different wildlife, and one ancient tree alone can support 8,000 different species of biodiversity. And that's just one ancient tree, folks. So imagine what an entire forest habitat is supporting. You'll be hearing different people speaking about how they felt during the whole tree planting. It's a very empowering feeling, you know, when you get a tree into the ground, planting anything and watching it grow, the whole process. I believe that every young person needs to see and feel and experience that. It's a very, very simple act that can create a very powerful connection to the natural world, to flora and fauna. We are all about spreading awareness on sustainability, reforestation, conservation, eco-living, sustainable action, community resilience, indigenous wisdom. This is a platform for the people to get voices heard, especially voices on the ground. When people come together as a community and create an act, and hopefully with those positive ripples, we can inspire more together. So I hope you enjoy the show. And if you wish to connect, you can email us at contact@wildeyeadventures.com or check out the website itself, www.wildeyeadventures.com. All about bushcraft, outdoor education, environmental awareness, and forest bathing. Trees are vital to the survival of humanity, folks.
Look at that tree. How can anyone look like trees? Longer than you or I, and it will still be here longer than you or I. It's amazing.
We like trees, don't we?
Yeah, we like trees.
And we thought that there's a lot of protesting going on at the moment, but we would prefer to do something that is really hands-on and something really positive, and show the younger generation that actually there's action you can take that will help in the long run. And we just like being in the garden,
yeah,
don't we? And planting trees.
Because I really wanted to help plant some trees for you guys. I think like woodlands are really important, and a lot of them are sort of vanishing. So yeah, I really wanted to just get stuck in, plant some trees, and I've never planted a tree before.
To get my hands physically in the grounds and actually plant trees is like
physically creating a difference, because we can talk about all the problems, but when you're actually actively doing something, it's really like it feels good and it feels empowering and it feels like we can actually do something together. To see everyone coming together and just like working to plant so many trees is like, I don't know, it warms my heart.
And we've only been here for about an hour, and how many trees have we planted?
Six.
About six trees an hour. Not much time to give up for what good it's doing.
We wanted to help giving back to our world, and planting trees, just, it's good for the world, it gives oxygen, and it's just a positive thing to do.
Yeah, it's an easy way to, it's just an easy thing that you can do, that you can do all together.
Something small makes a big difference.
No, it's
it's vital now. We've got to the stage of climate crisis where trees are going to be part of the vital fight back against disaster. So that's why I've come today.
If we like keep chopping down trees, there'll be none left, and you'll like get to see every rare animal, won't be many places to hide.
For the future, to save the planet.
To do more environmental stuff. Needed for sure, and it's just a fun thing to do, honestly. And I feel like there's not many opportunities to do environmental stuff, and this is just one of the things that you can do that can be impactful for the planet. Yeah,
it helps in all sorts of ways. It helps, obviously, with all sorts of species to live on the tree. It helps us, it makes us feel like we're doing something positive in a world where it's a bit overwhelming, all the negative news. It's a lovely community thing. We're here with quite a lot of friends from our village, so it works on all sorts of levels.
Trees help to keep our soil healthy, and they provide habitat for wildlife.
I feel that as a country and as a nation, we've probably completely lost touch with what truly makes us happy as people. And when it really comes down to it, we know that when you go for a walk in the woods, when you connect to nature, when you connect with each other and with communities, that that's where the true happiness comes from. And even being here today, planting with this, working with all these other people, it's a togetherness that this country desperately needs, that the world desperately needs. And we're doing it for these people and for the next generations to come. And because this planet is far too beautiful to let us destroy it, we need to help it. We need to help each other.
Plant trees! They help us breathe!
We're out here today. We've got 500 trees that have been delivered from the Woodland Trust, and we are planting because we need trees. Trees are life. They do so much for us, and we've taken far too much. It is now time to give back.
My name's Danny. I'm the founder of RAIN. That's the Regenerative Agroforestry Impact Network. And normally we're active in Brazil, where we sponsor schools to build sapling nurseries and then reforest dried up springs and the edges of rivers and places like that. So we're a reforestation organisation. We're out here today with Wild Eye Adventures reforesting a bit of Shoreham with a whole load of trees. You can see all these people behind us. We're starting to do partnerships with UK organisations and Brazilian organisations to make connections outside of any governmental influence, so we can have a distributed and decentralised approach to reforestation and regeneration. You can check us out at rainumbrella.org.
It's nice to be out in the fresh air, and it's good to think that, you know, planted trees are going to soak up carbon dioxide, and if everyone did this, it would solve a lot of the climate change problem. We do it because it's fun, it's something to do, and it does make a difference. And actually, I can visualise already the forest that will be here, and before that it was just a field.
I mean, for myself, I drive a car every day, drive a van every day, just all day long, drive a van. And it's just like, without the trees that are helping us sort of counterbalance that amount of, I don't know, CO2 that goes into the world, you know what I mean? All we're doing is polluting, so we need the trees to start fighting back.
And so we started looking at opportunities to grow habitat for wildlife, to do something more useful for the environment, given everything that's going on around climate. climate change and we wanted to play our part. So we were very lucky to be introduced to Yara, who had, through her association with the Woodland Trust, 500 trees that she needed a home for. So we put our hands up and we said we'd love to provide a home, and then we bought another 200 trees. And here we are, planting them.
I feel like I've done a good day's work, actually. I usually work in an office, so it's nice to get outside and actually breathe in real air and do some hard labour. Plus, you just feel really good about doing it. Who's not going to be happy about planting trees?
Look after your nature, because nature is looking after you. So we're living here, so it's our responsibility.
Yeah, if you could plant, definitely.
As a parenting, it's really, really important to come out and do something very, very positive about climate change, because there is so much negative press around climate change and our children are becoming petrified that the world is going to die very soon or within their lifetime. And coming out to plant trees shows them that actually humans are very resourceful, and if we work together and make small changes, each person will have a really big impact globally.
We've come because all he wanted for his birthday, which is next week, is to plant trees and get solar panels. So we're trying to honour that, and this has been a really great way to do it. I wish there were more events like this.
I mean, I think that young people are starting to lead the way in this thing, you know, with Greta and what she says about the environment. This is my son, Bo. Bo, what do you think about the trees?
Good.
Bo loves trees.
I really like the oaks.
Your favourite tree is the oak tree. So I think, yeah, there's part of this is educating those younger people, but part of it is, you know, is standing alongside them shoulder to shoulder and making sure we're doing our bit to safeguard their future. And that feels amazing.
Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser. B-Cure Laser.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
I'm interviewing Tessa, and the first question is, what do you love most about nature?
Just the fact that there are loads of things to explore, like you can climb trees, you can walk around, you can enjoy the beauty.
Okay, and why do you believe that trees are important?
They help us breathe, they're very fun, they can make houses, even though people shouldn't cut them down.
What's fun about trees?
Climbing, mostly.
Why do you enjoy being in the woods?
Mostly because there are loads of trees, but also because I like to go on walks and see the nature and, like, see the views and be with my friends.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think that trees and forests should be protected?
Because trees help us breathe and forests are beautiful. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be able to survive without them.
What you're about to hear is some protesters who are protesting the HS2 railway development that is currently taking place in the UK. This is a government-funded scheme, and it's a railway line, unfortunately cutting through 108 ancient irreplaceable woodlands. The Woodland Trust, the UK's largest woodland conservation organisation, have been heavily campaigning against the development of the HS2, as well as many environmental activists and campaigners. Countless petitions have been signed, and unfortunately there is a lot of environmental destruction and environmental rights being broken. So this was taken from a YouTube video on the HS2 Rebellion site, and it is heavy-handed behaviour against Stop HS2 Activist by High Speed 2 Limited, which is HS2.
We're here today to protest and to witness what is going on here, to witness the trees being killed, and without these trees we won't survive. The Amazon is on fire. Australia is on fire. Just because the UK is not on fire, we're still losing our ecosystems. And we need to act on it.
I've lived on this camp here for about a month now. Until Monday, I got evicted. I was living in a tree, mostly it's just over there. It's now been chopped down. And they're now chopping down the tree there that I was living in before that. The point of raising this camp here on this land was to really focus the local energy for protests. Lots of people in Covington, the local area, hate HS2 because of the kind of things they're doing here. Not just taking the woods that they've walked in all their life, but chopping down every single tree down all the roads near them when it's clearly not needed. This compound, even though the track's coming this way, goes all the way from that building there all the way up to the village there, and every single tree down here, all these magnificent oaks are being chopped.
You have to laugh, HSU, because, you know, as an organisation, they are an absolute joke. And people who haven't noticed that yet, I don't know what you've been looking at. I mean, dealing with them every day, it's not like the individual people are, I don't know, stupid or horrible. It's just that the whole thing doesn't work. You know, they can't seem to get anything done that you ask for them to do, or you don't get any communication for the most basic requests, as then our neighbours, and they're the most infuriating neighbours to have. I'm trying to get on with them, but oh god, it's hard work.
That man just strangled me, shoved his thumb in my eye as well. This is not injuncted land. This is a civil trespass. These people have no powers to handle us in this way. We've got no right.
Please support HS2 Rebellion. There are many different people from all walks of life that are coming together. Maybe some of the measures they take might be a little bit drastic, but these are drastic times we are living in, and higher powers are not listening. You know, they keep pulling us around in this loop. I'm still waiting for climate promises from 25 years ago to take form. And now there are a whole bunch of other promises that have been made. I perceive the government like my narcissistic ex-boyfriend, because it's just constant lies coming at us, and people need to stand up against these corporations that are destroying irreplaceable habitats. And it truly breaks my heart. Woodlands are not just vital to the whole of humanity and to wildlife and to our clean air and soil, but they are also a place of education and a place of healing. Right now, the whole benefits of spending time around woodlands is coming through. Japanese scientists in 1982 have proved the positive health benefits of spending time around trees, around woodlands, for mental health and well-being, and for physical health as well. We are fighting against powers that speak an economic language of profit. See, that is all they see. And for many of us on the ground around the world who are connected, highly connected to natural environments, to forests, to woodlands, to trees, woodlands symbolize many things for many different people. It can be a spiritual place. It can be a place to escape the rat race, the city side. When you want to get away from all the hustle and bustle, it's a refuge. It's wonderful that people are planting trees and creating these tree planting initiatives, but we need to remember that ancient woodlands are irreplaceable habitats. They've taken thousands and thousands of years to develop. Once they're gone, you cannot replace them. It doesn't matter how many new saplings you get into the ground. There are underground fungal networks that are keeping our soils healthy, that are helping the trees communicate with each other. You cannot take ancient trees out and put them somewhere else. There's a lot of hypocrisy out there. There's a lot of lies. And I believe people, they've had enough. And, you know, power to the people for coming together and standing up for nature. Great minds once said, humans are nature. And what we do to nature, we do to ourselves. Stand for trees, stand for forests, the indigenous people that are out there in the forests fighting to secure these habitats. Stand with the people on the ground, the communities that are coming together and joining forces for the future of their children and their children's children. There are some businessmen out there that just want to build and develop. They envision a concrete jungle, but the people on the ground envision something else. They envision communities having equality to green spaces. They envision their children playing under a shade of a tree, getting to know the local wildlife. This runaway train of economic development that we are all on together. Until higher powers start seeing the earth not as a commodity, as a living being. That's the Gaia theory, perceiving the earth as a living organism and moving away from fossil fuels and making deforestation an illegal act, a crime against humanity. So if you're listening out there, I hope you've planted a tree in your lifetime. If you have not, put that on your bucket list. It's such an empowering feeling, giving back to the earth. Get your children to plant trees. Check out your local tree planting event in the area. Get involved. Now is tree planting season. Get in touch with the Woodland Trust at www.woodlandtrust.org.uk. Check out treesisters.org. Trees for Cities. There are many fantastic tree planting initiatives that you can get involved with.
Hi, I'm Ray Mears. Thank you for listening. It reminds us how important it is to spend time close to nature.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio. Tell me your role in the Woodland Trust. Introduce yourself and then what you do with the Woodland Trust.
I'm Donny Chisholm. I'm one of the project officers in the Croft Woodlands Project. I cover the islands and the Northern Isles. It's my area. So.
And how long have you been involved with Woodland Trust?
I started in this role in the 9th of January this year. I did have really involvement, but my previous job with Agus Community Forest at the Ancient Woodland Project, I'd got a survey done by them. That's kind of really my first sort of connection with the Woodland Trust was then, when Steve Morris came to do the report for us.
Why did you join up with the Woodland Trust? Why do you believe their work is important?
Well, the Croft Woodlands project, I grew up in a croft on the west coast of Scotland, where there was no trees. And trained as a forester, funnily enough. But I kind of seen that landscape and seen how it has been changed by sort of past management, but knowing more about forestry and seeing that actually there's quite bits of it that probably should have trees on it. You know, it's a woodland without trees, essentially, in some bits. So that's where the Croft Woodlands project really appealed to me, because it's a large chunk of Scotland, really, that is covered in with the crofting counties. You know, if you kind of tap into that, then you could make quite a change to that landscape that well, in my opinion, is denuded right now. So.
And in your personal perception, how do you perceive forests? What do you think about forests in general?
It's nice places to hang out. Yeah, it's like the old thing of the more people I meet, the more I like my dog. My wife tells me that I should have... the more people I meet, the more time I want to spend in the woods. I just... Like, having come from somewhere that didn't have any trees, it was always quite a fascination for me, because there was, like, I spent a lot of time outside fishing on the seashore, you know, at sea, things like that, playing about, you know, in the hill ground. But trees were always kind of missing from that landscape. And I had a friend, like, not that far away, that had a woodland just behind his house. I used to love going in there when I went round to his house when we were in school. So I think I've kind of always been a bit drawn to them. But then, you know, there is a lack of forest science in this country that, you know, it's missing. We're totally detached from them, I think. So, just as part of my interest, I spent a year in Finland training as a wilderness guide. So spent a lot of time in forests, and a lot of time in forests with people that had never been disconnected from forest. So, to see that connection again, it was just, you know, really nice. And it was, to them, a forest is just part of where they live. And I think that's kind of, for me, that's what I try and do myself, really. You know, it's just that... I like them, they're nice places to hang out. They're really intriguing places, teach you a lot. And the more you learn about them, the sort of more you learn, there's more to learn about them. So it never gets boring. they're just nice, really.
Many of us these days, we're living and we're growing up in urban environments, and there seems to be a nature deprivation increasing at the same time. Why do you believe it's important that people engage in woodlands?
The urban environment, I don't get on with cities. Every time I've lived in one, I've ended up moving out again. So I don't like to speak about it in that sense. It'd be pretty hard for me. But I think even like me coming from a rural background, you know, and living rurally, that the people I grew up with, most of them weren't connected with woodlands either. So I think that's quite scary, that if you're taking it to that extreme, that the rural people who really should be, you know, integrated into that sort of landscape, and used to forest and knowing how to use them, if they don't know how to do it, that can only be far, far worse for people in towns and cities, you know, that don't have immediate access to that sort of area, or, you know, as easy access to sort of natural woodlands.
And as a forester, what initiatives do you believe would get people back into the woods?
I think working with schools, really. I mean, that's what I tried to do with Aegis, was work with a local school. And I mean, kids naturally know how to play in any environment anyways. Take them into a forest, I think it's brilliant. You know, you just like let them loose and they'll run off climbing trees and, you know, make shelters or whatever. And I think it's just keeping that alive in them, really. And that if you do that, they'll grow up always remembering that, and having had that connection, it will always be part of them, and they'll pass it on. So you need to start at that level. Like sort of older generations, you can sort of get them, but my experience with it, with you know, people that didn't grow up with that connection, is that they kind of expect, you know, like forest recreation to be sort of pedestrianised, if you like, that there should be like nice gentle paths for them to walk along, and that, you know, they can't walk through the trees because, you know, they might be damaging something, rather than just going into a forest and just being there and using it, you know, to relax or whatever. It's almost like they have to really be shown, which can use, you know, it's a lot of money really to put in paths and you know, wave marking and things like that, which is good. It gets those people in. But for me, like the real, you know, to break the back of it, you know, if you teach your kids how to integrate, you know, how to live with forests properly, then you know that you'll kind of win that way. So.
Are there any other positive messages that you wish to share with the people in regards to woodlands and trees?
Yeah, heaps. one of the things we're looking at just now with a friend is sort of integrating the trees into sort of hill grazings in Crofton. It's a very niche thing, I know, if we compare the whole of Britain, but it's how you could, you know, by planting trees, you can use it to start helping ecologically, you know, repair systems, start cycling nutrients again, improve fishing and lochs, improve grazing, shelter for livestock. And I think, you know, when you start looking at it like that, the usual one that people think of in that sort of scenario is that it gives shelter, might give you some firewood in the future, and that's the only two they can kind of see, is that there's a lot more benefits there. And to trees, and not always immediately apparent, but they are, and I think we'll only start learning a bit more of them the more woodland we plant, really.
Thank you so much for listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio, your feel-good radio. My name is Yara. If you'd like to connect with me, please visit www.wildeyeadventures.com. You can connect on social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Look for Wild Eye Adventures. And on Instagram, it's wildeye_adventures.